بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to a new program of عمدة الأحكام. And if you recall, last time we finished hadith number 71, and today inshallah we will be studying hadith number 72. This hadith was narrated by Imam al-Sahabi, the great companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him. He said that my grandmother, Mulaika, may Allah be pleased with her, invited the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for a meal which she has prepared herself. The Prophet answered the invitation. He ate from the meal, and afterwards he said, "Get up, let me lead you in prayer." Of course, we know that this is a great honor. And Anas says that I took my hasir, which is a mat, and I washed it because it was darkened because of the prolonged time it was used. And the Prophet of Allah stood on it. The orphan and I aligned behind him, and the old lady, my grandmother Mulaika, stood behind us. The Prophet of Allah led us in prayer and offered two rak'ahs and then left. This is the version of Al-Bukhari. In the version of Imam Muslim, a different story, but the same situation. Anas also narrated that the Prophet prayed with him and his mother, Sulaim, and he made Anas stand to his right, and the woman, that is his mother, behind them. From this hadith, we learn a number of lessons. Among them is, before we go into the position of those praying behind the Imam, who should be in front of who, we learn from this hadith how humble the Prophet was alayhi salatu wasalam. It was reported in the Sahih hadith that a young girl with a problem would come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to complain about her problem, holds his hand, and she leads him in the streets of Medina talking to him about her problem. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam does not pull his hand because he wants to listen to her problem. How humble that is. We all know that in the hadith where a man was summoned in front of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he was brought in front of him trembling and shaking out of fear. And the Prophet alayhi salam calmed him down by saying, "Take it easy, my friend. I am only the son of a woman who used to eat dry meat in Mecca. I'm just a normal man. My mother was not a queen. She used to eat dry meat." And because the Prophet ﷺ was the mercy of Allah. And not only that, to the extent that one of the companions was in his house, the Prophet came and he requested to enter. What does a person who requests to enter say? "Assalamu alaykum, a'adkhul." The Prophet said this, "Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah." A'adkhul once, twice, and thrice. And every time he used to say this, the companion from inside the house would say in a very low voice, "Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." And in the third time, the Prophet left, as the sunnah is. You ask for three times for permission and then you leave. As he was leaving, the companion came out and said, "Come in, O Prophet of Allah." And the Prophet of Allah said, "Why didn't you allow me in the first time?" And the man said, "O Prophet of Allah, you were saying, 'May peace and mercy of Allah be upon you. Shall I enter?' This is dua. You're making dua. You want me to cut this from the first time? No, I want you to say it three times." So the Prophet did what any companions would have wished for. And that is, he said, "Let me pray. Let me lead you in prayer." So Anas, what he did was, he went into a mat. Hasir is a mat usually made of straw, of small pieces of straw put together and attached in a certain manner. Sometimes people use it as a blanket. Sometimes they sit on it. Sometimes they serve food on it. The companions were not rich. They didn't have like 10 or 20 of those. Nowadays, when we eat on the floor, we bring sort of disposable mats that we eat on and then we throw them in the garbage, not knowing that this pollutes the environment because it's made of plastic and this is not recyclable by nature. So it's going to pollute the environment and we're spending money just because it is convenient not to wash it, to spend two more minutes cleaning it. So just throw it and that is it. At the time of the companions, no. They didn't have money. So maybe the only thing that they had in the house was this mat. And it was darkened. It became black. Because imagine if you use it for multi-purpose, this would eventually happen to it. So he washed it. And even if you wash it, if you put it in a washing machine, it's not going to be as clean as it used to be. But they tried. The Prophet prayed on it, alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is another sign of his humbleness. If someone offers you such a mat to sit on, would you sit on it? No, it's going to make my clothes dirty. I don't know what you did on it. I don't know what you ate on it. Not the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's washed, there is water on it, khalas, it's clean. And he led them in prayer in two rak'ahs. Now, the significance of this hadith is to show us where people stand. And from this hadith, we understand that if there are more than one praying behind the imam, they should make a row. So the Prophet was the imam, the leader. Behind him was an orphan, someone of the companions, a young orphan. And what is the definition of orphan? An orphan is a person who his father has died before reaching the age of puberty. If the child reaches the age of puberty, he's not an orphan anymore. So if someone comes to me and says, Sheikh, where is your father? I said, Allah, I'm an orphan. No, this is not true. And if you want to support me and provide for me so that you would be sponsoring an orphan, no, this is not applicable because I've reached, I believe, the age of puberty long time ago. So this is the definition of orphan, because so many times people say, I've been sponsoring an orphan, mashallah. How old is he? He's in college. No, this is not, he's not an orphan anymore. Maybe he's needy. But when the Prophet says, me and those who sponsor an orphan are like this on the Day of Judgment in Jannah. So this is only for those who did not reach the age of puberty. Once a child reaches the age of puberty, he is not an orphan anymore. So, going back to the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ stood at the beginning, an orphan and Anas stood behind him, and the grandmother stood at the back. And this is the sunnah. And this is what is mandatory. So, we learn that a woman's place is always behind men. And in a similar hadith, when the Prophet led the prayer with Anas, Anas did not stand behind him. Why? Because he was alone. So he stood next to the Prophet to his right. Yet Sulaim, may Allah be pleased with her, stood at the back. Meaning that a woman's position is always behind men. And to us, this is normal. To us, this is logical. To the non-Muslims, especially to the women, they might find this inferior. They might find this not worthy of them because there is no equality. But any logical person would know that this is the best thing to do. What is the essence of prayer? Khushu', submissiveness. So if you have a woman in front of you praying, if she makes ruku' or sujood, if she bows or prostrates, are you going to face the qibla? It's a different qibla. And this is not good for your prayer. If she's standing next to you, then definitely you would narrow the gaps and straighten your line and touch the shoulder to the shoulder and to ankle to the ankle. And if anything more I can do, that would be significant. But Islam came to protect both men and women. And that is why Islam segregated between them. Even if she was your wife. If I'm praying with my wife in my home, can she stand next to me? No, not at all. She has to stand behind me. This is the sunnah, and this is from the one who created men and women. This is from the one who knows what's best for men and what's best for women. And it's not man-made, and that is why it's a divine religion. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.